618 here on Your Money Matters. It's a question that moved the markets recently. It's a question that has a lot of people worried or wondering what is next in the world of financial planning, financial advice. It's something we talk a lot about on our show. Joining us today to talk about an interesting study is Dr. Sterling Raske, Senior Lecturer of Finance at the Caius College of Business at the University of Illinois. Dr. Raske, thanks for hopping on the program with us today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
It's a question I've wondered a long time. I've even played around with ChatGPT, asking it financial questions and kind of judging for myself what the answers are. What led you guys to dive into this?
It's just an interesting approach, given that with the advancements in artificial intelligence, and specifically when we use ChatGPT, we wanted to find out, well, what if we asked it, what would it tell us? And that was the impetus behind both of the studies.
ChatGPT has gone through a few iterations as it has continued to evolve. I assumed you're using the models most recent.
The ones in our studies, and this is the both the blessing and the curse of artificial intelligence and the progress, started out with 3.5, and then the most recent one was on 4.0, and you know, as technology would have it, both of those are becoming quickly obsolete. So it was 3.5 and then 4.0.
That's okay. I mean, it gives us a good baseline, and then from years on, we can advance and compare to see how it does. So give us a summary. How does ChatGPT do at financial advice?
Overall, it does pretty well with some of your more basic, I would say, questions. For example, several of the outputs that we received recommended the basis with regards to emergency funds, setting up a budget. So it did that very well. It was fantastic, of course, at finding the information very, very quickly, which was nice. But when it got to more complicated things, complex planning, and especially empathy, we found that it was lacking in those areas.
Huh, lacking in empathy. What do you mean by that?
Just reading through some of the prompts and the recommendations, there were some scenarios that, for example, I would assume most, if not all, human financial advisors and financial planners would have shown a little bit of emotion, a little bit of empathy, whereas this from ChatGPT was much more, for lack of a better term, direct, but without any emotion. Just here's what you need to do, and really wasn't taking into account anymore any of the other emotional factors that would come into play.
Like a financial advisor, like one of our friends on the show may say, well, you need to work another 2 years. You don't get to retire this year, but, you know, it's going to be okay, and hey, that's not so bad, and your plans will still be great after that, whereas ChatGPT says, you got to work 2 more years, buddy.
Right, yeah, but no reason why, or, well, consider this. We understand that might be a little bit of a struggle, but there are other things that you could do that would, you know, help working 2 more years make it worthwhile.
You know, it's interesting about studying if it can do the job of a financial advisor. You go to different financial advisors with the same numbers, and they have different ideas for maybe what you can do in your retirement after chatting with you. So how do you define and measure the quality of advice it gave when humans will give different advice even between them?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So it was a matter of looking at, from a quantitative standpoint, was it getting basic recommendations? For example, I mentioned the emergency fund a little bit earlier. That it was really well in recommending some of the basic financial products, some of the basic ideas when it comes to investing. Yes, you should start investing. Yes, you should probably think about disability insurance. Or yes, you know, there's definitely a need for life insurance. So as far as that quality, if you will, that wasn't bad. When it got into more of the heavily quantitative, especially calculations, we found it was lacking, if not incorrect, in some of the retirement projections and some of the mathematics behind it, which was interesting. And as far as the, I would say, as far as following a specific process, a lot of the recommendations were all over the board, where many financial advisors and wealth managers will, they'll begin with the end in mind, but they'll have a process that they follow of what's logical for a client, that would behaviorally, that they would, the recommendations that they would make, they would follow through on, but also in order of priority. You know, for example, a common theme in wealth management is risk management. If somebody has state liability limits, you know, state limits on their auto insurance, financial advisor worth their salt isn't going to let them leave the office without making sure that those are put in place, they have an umbrella, and so forth. Whereas with ChatGPT, it was, well, yeah, you need to do this, but there was really never an order of priority and a timeline of when things needed to get done. So that, and that's something that you would get, or most folks would get, with the human element.
That's interesting. Yeah, the prioritization of it, right? The idea of, wait, hold on, this is like a gaping hole in your plan that, yeah, like you said, you're not leaving this office or this phone call till we take care of it. Okay, now let's move on to the broader things that will impact you 40 years down the road. So it has a hard time prioritizing that, which I understand that seems to be a limitation. I'm surprised, and I often find this too when I play with it, even the new model, how it gets some basic computation wrong that my calculator would get right. It's a glaring hole, and I'm kind of surprised it doesn't get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's interesting. Why that's the case, I'm not sure yet, but that was an interesting finding.
Did any of them admit to the when you ran these models with ChatGPT? Did they ever like admit, like, hey, I don't know everything I should know about this. Talk to a human before you do anything, or was it like, yep, here's the Bible, follow it?
It was pretty much a know-it-all attitude.
Wow, that's a little salty too, that ChatGPT. I've met that. I've encountered that too. Would you have read anything that ChatGPT offered or suggested that maybe a fiduciary wouldn't? Someone that is, you know, legally bound, or their certificates are bound by the, you know, customer first, the performance of the funds first, as opposed to the performance of the advisor. You kind of see what I'm asking here.
It may be a different way. I'm so sorry.
Did they break any laws? Like, did they tell you to do anything that was illegal?
Okay. No, not specifically. And as far as following the fiduciary standard, of course, another thing that ChatGPT is lacking, it's not a fiduciary. No specific laws were broken, although in the 3.5 versus 4.0, there was one scenario that we put through it where it said, you may be breaking the law, when it was clearly the individual that we submitted to the prompt was embezzling money. that was questionable. As far as, yeah, it's not a fiduciary. It's not held to a fiduciary standard, and I think that's a key difference between ChatGPT and somebody in real life. Somebody like myself will have that in the back of their mind and say, am I acting in the client's best interest? And we hope that every human advisor out there is. But even though ChatGPT didn't knowingly advise to break any laws, it's still not going to be held to that standard.
About 3 years ago was the first time I really started chatting about generative AI. And I asked an expert, should people be worried about their jobs? And he said, you know, it's more the people that don't use AI should be worried about losing their jobs than people that embrace it and embrace the technology. I think if I asked that person the same question today, the answer might be a little bit different. I'd have to see. And that's actually a good segment idea. I should write that down. But more to the chase, with so many financial advisors that I've known and I've met, as of right now, should they be worried about their gigs?
In my opinion, no. I think if they're doing, going back to that fiduciary standard, if they're doing right by their clients, I think there will always be a need for the human element, or I should say there will always be clients out there, individuals out there that will want that human touch, that human element. So I don't think that they have anything to worry about per se. Now, maybe those that would have anything to worry about are those that weren't really doing any planning to begin with. It was just kind of cut and paste, and I think those are very rare and few and far between and probably not long for the profession anyway. But overall, I think, back to your point earlier, as far as what you mentioned, advisors and wealth managers are willing to embrace it and use it as a tool in their toolbox to help the client and generate ideas. And I've talked to several advisors that use it as a tool. It's not the end product. It's, hey, what would ChatGPT, are we missing anything? Can it help us generate ideas or things that we haven't talked about beforehand or thought about? I think it can be very complementary to existing advisors.
Yeah. I agree, and it gave me ideas, and even the newer models that I plugged in some of my financial things, asked it some questions. It had some interesting insights, but I didn't hand over the reins to it because that doesn't exist yet. It's not a software that can take and then move your money in different places and ways and monitor it over it every single day, or have systems that do that, at least not yet. So that was an interesting study, Dr. Raske. We're out of time today, but I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.